Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Take the Black Live. My name is Daniel Roman here for winteriscoming.net, and we have a great show for you guys here today. You might notice Dan Selke, my intrepid co-editor, not here today. In his stead, Camilla Dominguez, our resident Monsterverse, Star Trek, many nerdy things expert. Camilla, how are you doing today?
Hey, Daniel. I'm doing good. I'm excited because Star Trek and Godzilla and all the things, and I just got this lovely shirt, and I'm just over the moon, and I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Always. It is always a blast to have you on the show. And hey there, Martha, in the chats. Sound off if you're in the chat. Let us know you're there, because we have a lot of stuff to talk about with you guys today. Little light on the Westeros front, but fortunately, we live in a golden age of dinosaurs and space lasers and kaiju and spaceships and all that sort of stuff. So we've got a lot of things to talk about. But first, as we always do, we will start out with just a smidge of Westeros news. So the House of the Dragon, the dueling trailers, Camilla, have you had a chance to see both of these?
Yes. Yes, I have. Very excited. Okay.
Yeah, they're pretty cool. And it seems like the excitement, was infectious, because we got word this week that apparently those dueling trailers set a new record for HBO. They got over 80 million global views in their first 72 hours, and inspired like almost 300,000 posts on social media, which apparently is a record for Max.
That's so insane.
Yeah, exciting times. Everyone's hyped for House of the Dragon. Hey there, Nicole. So Camilla, my question for you, because you weren't here, I think last week we picked through these trailers frame by frame, shot by shot, and looked at a bunch of cool stuff. Did you have a favorite? Was there one you liked more or less?
Honestly, no. And it's hard. It's really hard to pick a favorite from both, because sure, I am team Black the whole way, 100%. My girl is okay. My girl. Yes.
But you like Aemon, right?
I do.
Am I remembering
Aemon is
right?
A huge exception. Okay. Aemon is like my heartthrob, my House of the Dragon heartthrob. I don't know why. He just is. I just love how he's portrayed in this. And
it's that one eye.
I'm excited. I'm very excited just to see like little glimpses here and there. I try not to like, I haven't had a chance to sit down and really like speculate the trailers a lot or just like examine them. But from what I see, like, oh, this is going to be a good season.
Yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff in them. It definitely seems like it's going to be a good season. Like, fingers crossed, it should be. If it's not, something went horribly wrong. Hey there, Julie in the chats. You are right on time, not even a bit late. Dan is, he's out of the office today. He's off doing personal Dan things. He will be back next week, and all is well with him, I believe. Yeah. But yeah, so that's pretty much all we have to report for Westeros this week. No new casting stuff. You know, it was a big week last week with the trailers. And the week before, because they've been out for like 2 weeks at this point. Yeah. I'm sure there will be more stuff to talk about on the Westeros front. Duncan Egg. Do you know anything about Duncan Egg, Camilla?
I know the story. I've read the little novella and things, and I'm aware that they're making a show. I just haven't seen any more details of like when like a realistic release date or anything in that realm yet.
Yeah, so I think we don't know a whole lot about Duncan Egg. They haven't announced any castings, but it is supposed to start filming, I believe, this summer. I want to say around like June or maybe late May. So that is in pre-production right now. It's kind of winding up. So what we've been guessing is we'll get alternating years with Duncan Egg next year and House of the Dragon on the other years. But yeah, I assume we'll get some news for that pretty soon. But until then, all's quiet. Our watch continues. But let's talk about something we can talk about this week a little bit more. One of your areas of expertise. So Godzilla X Kong, Godzilla Times Kong, I'm going to call it. The New Empire is out now. That's the latest in Legendary's Monsterverse movies. It's off to a really good start at the box office. It took in $80 million domestically this opening weekend, and which makes it the second biggest movie opening of the year after Dune. So you've seen this.
Yes.
How did you feel about it? Like, what are you? You are very well versed in the MonsterVerse. So what are your thoughts on this?
I loved it. It was great. Like, sure, I have some issues just with the lore and the delivery of the lore, but that's just getting too technical.
Okay.
But as far as like the movie, as far as that as the movie goes, really, really well done. It was fun. It felt like I was sitting down and watching like a Jurassic Park movie, you know, the original Jurassic Park.
Oh, cool.
Like it just gave me that kind of like excitement and thrill. And I took my 7-year-old twins to go watch it with me because they, much like their mom, are little MonsterVerse nerds. And they also just had a blast. They loved it. It was easy to follow along for them. It was really neat. And I really like one of my favorite things about the movie is how there's this whole entire scene where Kong meets this new baddie and he, you know, they're all the same kind of species. And then there's the whole trying to establish the alpha relationship and everything. And during the entire exchange of Kong with this new, like the new ape civilization he finds, it's so cool because you can tell exactly what's being said, what's being implied, and what's like how the story is going just solely based on their expressions and their grunts and all of that. And just that communication, the expression on every single Titan in this movie, the expression on their faces and their gestures and everything, they felt like they were there acting, even though they're CG.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's not something you... Not to say you don't expect that in a MonsterVerse or kaiju movie, but it's kind of like a pleasant surprise. Like, I feel like when they're at their best, you kind of get that a little bit where they feel like they're emoting. You can kind of understand what, you know, what they're saying, even back to like the really old ones, like the original King Kong, like that's like stop motion, very old. But like there is an element of that that's about like him communicating with the lead character. So that's really cool. So that they felt alive in this one.
They did. And it was cool just because like comparing it to Godzilla Minus One, which I absolutely love. And I could like obsessively check the internet to see if they've announced when the Blu-ray is going to come out in the US. They have a Japan date, but they don't have one here. But I know, God, come on, Toho, what are you doing? But no, like just comparing the two different kinds of like just Godzilla movies and the Godzilla beasts in each movie. They're very different, and it's cool to see like two different sides of the same beast in a few months.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I can't remember a time where we, I don't know how often the Toho ones really even make it over here to American theaters, but I can't remember a time where we had a Toho one, which for those of you listening who may not know, it's basically like two totally separate franchises. Mm-hmm. Do you want to explain this a little bit? Like just broadly for people listening. So we got the Japanese Godzilla franchise that goes back.
Yes, it goes back to 1954 is when the first Godzilla movie came out, 1954. And they released, I believe they're up to like 30, I'm going to get this wrong, 34 or 35 movies.
A lot,
you know.
Too many to easily count.
You know, yeah. So they've released a bunch of movies just involving Godzilla, and they have like other kaijus like Mothra, they have Mechagodzilla, and they have obviously like King Kong and stuff. And I don't know what sparked the, hey, let's make Godzilla a US thing too. But Legendary Studios and Warner Brothers have paired up and made movies since 2014, not counting the original Godzilla in the 90s. Yeah. Is that even the original US Godzilla? I don't know.
I'm not 100% sure. I know there was one in the, I think, early 2000s with Matthew Broderick that was
I said 90s, but I meant early 2000s. I clearly don't.
Turn of the century.
Yeah.
We could say.
Yeah.
So, Fantasy Fan says it's totally a great movie, a fun popcorn movie.
It is a fun popcorn and movie.
It's, which is really cool. Like you talked about these two, you know, almost different versions of Godzilla. And so I haven't seen Minus One, to my great shame. I still have not seen it. I haven't seen this one either.
I'm gasping so over here.
My two questions for you with this. Uh-huh. One, which should we be prioritizing to watch if I haven't seen either? And two, do you think there's room at the box office for basically two very different types of Godzilla movies? Because Minus One is, I'm assuming you could eat popcorn during it, but I don't know if you would classify it. Would you call that a fun popcorn movie? They're a little different, right?
Right. They're completely different. So to answer your question, as much as I'm a huge MonsterVerse fan, when it comes to those two, Minus One blows it out of the water. And it's not just because of the action or anything. The actual story in the movie, I get goosebumps just remembering it. It's really powerful. It's, you know, post-war cool. Japan. They're desperate, like, to get some sense of normalcy and go back to normal life and figure out what normal life looks like after World War II now. And Godzilla just says, hey, what's up? I'm here to just break everything. Bye! You know? And that's what Godzilla does. And he is legitimately a bad guy in Minus One, which in the US, cool. like in the MonsterVerse, sure, he's a bad guy, but we're like his playthings. So nobody else can mess with us except for him. So if any other kid tries to put in, you know, a hand in his toy chest, he just, you know, mine.
Yeah.
That's more of like what the Legendary Studios Godzilla is more like. But I would prioritize Minus One to watch first. And grab tissues.
Okay.
and grab tissues.
Okay, and grab
I did not
tissue.
expect, I
All
wrote a huge
right.
thing on this. Like, I did not expect to
Yeah.
come out of a Godzilla movie crying my eyes out.
Okay, I remember seeing this when you first wrote about it. So, duly noted, tissues, minus one gets your vote. But Godzilla times Kong, Godzilla X Kong, however we want to say it, it's still doing really well. My question, another question kind of about that is, what would you recommend for people to go watch this? Could you just go watch this not having seen other MonsterVerse movies? Is this like an Avengers type movie where you really need to have seen at least a couple of the other ones to know what's going on?
Yes. If anything, like if you're not into the MonsterVerse movie and you don't feel like sitting through five amazing like destruction filled movies, I get it. Whatever.
Who
why
are you?
not?
What are we doing here? But okay.
It's okay to be wrong, but you know. I would watch if you had to go see it without watching all five, you at least have to watch the Godzilla versus Kong and you at least have to watch King of Monsters.
Gotcha.
Those two. When it comes to Godzilla and then oh I'm blanking out. Oh no, yeah. Yeah, because the fifth one would be you just gotta watch those two out of the current the four that are out before you see this.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, I know. So Kong Skull Island, that
Oh,
one was
school.
kind of a period piece, if I remember right. It's set in
Yeah,
like
it was
the
boring.
70s or 80s. Yeah, I was not a huge fan. I'm a lifelong King Kong fan. I love the King Kong movies. I didn't really like Skull Island very much, but the Godzilla movies of the MonsterVerse have been really good. So I wasn't really surprised because I think I've heard you say this before that the ones you really need to see before Godzilla X Kong are Godzilla V Kong, which is the first crossover movie, and King of the Monsters. So Godzilla V Kong, I'm not surprised. This seems like it's a direct continuation of it. To have any idea about the relationship between these two kaijus, like that's really what the first movie was about. Why King of the Monsters? Why do we need to see that one too?
One, because Ghidorah is awesome. King Ghidorah is just one of the
Okay,
coolest titans
that's
out there.
fair.
But besides that, it's
Mothra?
more mostly lore. Mothra too. You need to find out what happens to
Okay.
Mothra in King of Monsters before you watch the new one. And
Okay.
just to also get a feel for like how why Godzilla is treated the way he is treated in this movie, or like he's basically like a ticking time bomb, and how Monarch gets to like kind of keep tabs on him and somewhat like they can kind of read his actions, like what he's gonna do. They can kind of figure out like what he wants to do based on what's going on, like whatever situation's going on around the world. It would be for lore reasons to watch, like it would be a good idea to watch King of the Monsters.
Gotcha. So one other thing I've always been curious about with the MonsterVerse, because the MonsterVerse, it's interesting. I feel like you don't hear it, not like talked about tons and tons, but it is one of the very few examples of like a cinematic universe that like studios tried to copy the MCU and it actually like worked. Like with this latest Godzilla and Kong movie, it's now like the franchise as a whole has made over 2 billion at the box office. So like it's established like they're going to keep making these. But there's also an Apple TV Plus show, right? Is that part of the same continuity, and how essential is it?
It's essential if you care about lore. Monarch
Okay.
basically it's between Godzilla and Godzilla versus Kong. It just kind of
Oh,
wedges
okay.
itself right there. It's like a year. It happens a year after the events of Godzilla, the 2014 movie. And
Gotcha.
it's heavy on the Monarch side. Very heavy on the Monarch side and the lore and how it's established. And then I'm not like there's certain things towards the end that lead into the other movies.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So it sounds like overall you enjoyed the latest movie. It was relatively easy to follow. You have any other thoughts, any other things you really loved about it, hated about it? Here's a soapbox. What would you like to say about Godzilla Times Kong?
I would like to say, I'm just kidding. I love the movie. I love the movie. And there were some things like the physics aspects of things just go way over my head, but that's because I'm not very scientifically inclined to begin with. So that kind of stuff can be a little like hard to grasp, but everything else is great. There are the actor that I completely forget the name of who plays the vet. I'm so sorry. You are wonderful. Truly wonderful. Like, it was good humor that was placed appropriately and wasn't over the top. Like, this movie had everything. It was basically an Avengers movie for lizards, giant lizards and giant apes.
Sweet.
And I really enjoyed that. I like destruction scenes. I have a lot of like auditory sensory things, but the one thing that has always been able to escape that has been Godzilla's roar for some reason. So I just like to bask in that noise. it's just a good movie overall. Just a couple things here and there that I can't remember in particular. I have them written down somewhere because I just like to take notes as soon as I get out of theaters. I like to do voice notes so I can go back and listen to it later. But I highly recommend everyone to go watch Godzilla X Kong, the new empire, because the bad guy in this is actually really scary.
Now, okay, man, I want to add, I don't want to spoil stuff, but I am, the bad guys have me really curious with this because, you know, there's the red ape. We've all seen that in the trailer. There are also hints that there could be more than just the red ape that we get in one of the trailers. There's an ice beam, an inexplicable ice beam. So
my kids named it Elsa.
Oh, okay. All right, so probably just misunderstood then, and looking for acceptance and love. Got it.
Yeah, she has to let it go. I'm just sorry. I'm so sorry. I'll stop.
Fair. Yeah. So the only other thing I will say, it's funny that you talk about like the city destruction, the audio sensory stuff, which no roars really sound quite like Godzilla, which is a good thing. I always get bothered when I hear movies like reusing the T-Rex roar from Jurassic Park because it's a really common sound effect at this point. So I love that Godzilla still has its own very unique sound. I don't know how this hasn't broken the internet, and this is as close as I'm going to come to a spoiler. Apparently there's a scene in this where Godzilla suplexes King Kong next to a pyramid.
Absolutely.
And I feel like if you want a perfect example of how this is a fun popcorn movie, it is that. How is that not broken the internet?
I don't know how, but it should, because the moment that it happens, we're all like, it's just really, really good.
Cool.
That whole entire sequence, I'm not spoiling anything, but that whole entire sequence was just a mix of like hilarious and just intense action.
Cool. That got me more excited than like most of the marketing. I saw the clip of the suplex and I was like, okay, I'm gonna have to go see it just for this because that's absurd.
Yeah. It was also, in a weird note, it was really exciting to see monsters destroy a city in my country instead of the US for once.
Okay, fair.
And that's all that's I'm saying. Nice.
We need some, you know, equal global destruction here in the Monsterverse, please.
We needed some.
Yeah. So anything else you want to say about Godzilla before we move on to our next final frontier?
I like the pun there.
Thank you.
No, that was it. Just go watch it. It's a heck of a lot of fun. Buy popcorn. You'll eat the entire thing. I promise I did.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So who have we got in the chat here? Yep. Like magic. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you, Andrew, for the hat love. I had to rock my Final Fantasy hat because I'm going to talk about it just a little bit later on because I finished. I'm obsessed. I did 130 hours. I finished it. But so And sticking to television for a few more minutes first. So beyond King Kong, which is exciting, another new sci-fi thing that is happening tomorrow is that Star Trek Discovery is coming back for its fifth and final season. This is kind of the show that kicked off this new era of Star Trek, where it had kind of flagged a little bit after like Enterprise, which, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like most Star Trek people like Enterprise is one of the less well-regarded ones. Like, at least personally, I don't like it as much. Yeah.
I don't like it either.
But Discovery has captured a lot of hearts. So you have seen it. I know we can't talk spoilers, obviously. It's not out yet. But what are your impressions? Like, what should we be expecting in this final season of Discovery? How are you feeling, like, that we're here at the end of the road, basically?
I'm honestly sad. I didn't want the show to end after five seasons. The way that the story has been unfolding and character arcs have been going and new characters introduced and more questions come up. It breaks my heart that it's come to an end on the season. The cast and crew actually didn't know that it was ending after the fifth season until after they had filmed. So they had to like go back and film a couple extra scenes, but like it's a shock because nobody really saw it coming. But I've been lucky enough to be able to watch half of this last season, and it's emotional, it's intense.
Okay.
It's very interesting, and it's like it's a beautiful love letter to like Discovery fans, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Performances are still top notch. Sonequa Martin Green is glorious as Michael. Cool. Mary Wiseman is still like perfection incarnate as Tilly. And you know, everybody is, yeah, it's perfect performances from everyone, and just a lot of very, very emotional season.
So the theme, it seems like, for everything we're talking about today, from Godzilla Minus One to this, is make sure you bring tissues.
Yes. Except you won't need it for Kong, for Godzilla versus Kong, but for Minus One, you
gotcha.
Will.
That you'll need napkins for popcorn.
Yeah.
So Discovery is interesting because, you know, the older Star Treks really had like, they did have story arcs, but they were very much like Adventure of the Week. And Discovery is not that. It's a much more, like, the story is more involved in a little, I don't want to say linear, that doesn't quite feel right, but it's more episodic versus like Strange New Worlds was kind of a return to that other form. So how well do you think, like, the way Discovery did it in terms of like their storytelling, how do you feel like that worked, like, overall? Like, and again, I know we can't really talk the new season, but like, I'm just curious what your opinion is on that.
I love the fact that it's an episodic arc that you don't tune in. I love Discovery and Strange New Worlds both because they're very differently. Strange New Worlds is more the, hey, different adventure every week type thing. It's more yeah, in that realm. But then you have Discovery, like the same beautiful CG, the same beautiful like technology, like the same quality of content, but it's a rolling story. And it, what's not to like about that? Like everything in the last four seasons, they just, everything just goes together and just paints like the bigger picture that is Discovery. And I think it's very fitting that the name of the show is Discovery and that the ship's name is Discovery. Okay. Because Star Trek discovered a whole new side of the franchise. You know, it was already inclusive as it was. It was groundbreakingly inclusive, even with the original series. But with all the inclusion that they have and all the, it just, all the appeal that they have for everybody, and, you know, everybody's different, but there's something in there for everyone. And I feel like that was a good way to figure out where to steer the franchise and what direction to go with next. It's pretty fitting, but I am very, very sad to see it go. I've been a huge fan of Discovery since the first episode. So I'm like, no. But
what is the next Star Trek that you think you'll get really hooked on? Do you have like, is there already one lined up that you love that will replace Discovery in your heart, or not really
yet? Strange New Worlds. Well, Discovery will always have its spot. Like it's like Next Generation, and then Discovery is right there, and then Strange New Worlds right next to it.
Okay.
I love
Sorry, Janeway. I will not tolerate this Janeway shade. I love Voyager.
Voyager's all right. I grew up with Next Generation. Like my dad set my 5-year-old butt down and was like, let's watch this and talk like Picard and talk like Data. And that was, I just watched it with my dad, you know, so it's the most familiar Star Trek to me. Strange New Worlds, definitely. And they are having a new show come out called Starfleet Academy. Not a lot of details yet. But I am
excited to
see.
The set's crazy.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's a good kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I'm hoping with just how things are, and this has nothing to do with the new season of Discovery, but like if we'll see some, who will see? I don't even know what the timeline is for. Wow, words are really hard today for Starfleet Academy. But it'd be cool to just see what they do with it. And then there's Sector 31. That's a movie that's being made. It has Michelle Yeoh's Captain Georgiou in it. And I cannot wait to get my eyes glued on that screen.
Yeah. Michelle Yeoh is never the wrong choice. I'm intrigued by that. And
have you ever seen Discovery?
I haven't seen Discovery, partially because when Discovery started airing, it was, God, I don't even remember the name of the streaming service, because it was like CBS Plus or something, like before Paramount Plus was a thing. CBS kind of used Discovery as its way to get people onto its streaming platform that basically only had Discovery and then whatever other like library titles. So I've missed out. I need to catch up on it at some point. But it is an interesting time for Star Trek, because Discovery is kind of, you know, it's setting sail to its ending. And to answer Andrew's question, is it ending due to this is where the story just ends, or due to ratings? We know that it's not just where the story ends, because like Camilla said a little while ago, they didn't know it was going to be the end when they filmed it. So they had to go back and film some pickup shots to make the ending gel, which makes me a little bit nervous, just because, you know, anytime you hear something like that, it's like, how much more impactful of an ending could they have had the chance to make if they had just known this was going to be the end?
It gives me Rise of Skywalker PTSD, but that's a whole different talk.
Yeah, totally. But I think, so all we really know with the ending of Discovery is that it's not clear if it's due to ratings or due to like the changing nature of the streaming business model is kind of one of the things I've seen said about it. Because, you know, Paramount, it seems like it's more a strategy shift, because they're 5 seasons deep on that show. They have a slew of other shows they're trying to get started. Like that Starfleet Academy one, I joked about the set, but that's because that's one of the literal only things we know about it. Like it's set during this time where, which again, we don't really know the timeline, but where people are training at Starfleet to go join, you know, the USS Enterprise or whatever starship crew. And they built like a campus for it. But that's it. We really don't know too much else about it yet. So it does seem like they've kind of got Star Trek shows lined up for like the next few years. I hope so,
because that franchise, that's one that I really hope they never let die. There's just so much you can do with it, and so much unexplored territory with it.
Yeah, and I hope they find, I don't want to say good ways, but like not creatively bankrupt ways to continue it. Like, you know, I liked that Picard was a thing. That's another one I've been meaning to watch. Like, I can appreciate that they brought back, okay, you have opinions, it sounds like. Did you not like Picard?
Oh, the first like season and a half, I I was so disappointed. It was the Kenobi of
Okay.
my Star Trek.
Okay.
I know you love Kenobi. I'm so sorry.
I hate
Oh, wait, you hate
Kenobi.
it? Oh, God,
I
I thought you
did.
loved it.
I
Yes,
really
I'm
just,
safe. Safe.
yeah, I really
Safe.
disliked Kenobi. I felt like they kind of phoned it in, which is
Yeah.
unfortunate because they had like actors like Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen, and they were great. I don't think
Yeah.
the specific production elements phoned it in, but there were just elements of it that I don't think quite worked, and it felt a little like they were just trying to rush it out and hoping it would, capitalize on the Star Wars
Yeah.
interest at the time. And that's kind of my fear for Star Trek. Like, I saw an article a while back of William Shatner talking about if he would come back to play Kirk. And he was basically like, if there was a good reason to. And the article kind of speculated, like, what if we did a Star Trek Kirk sort of, old man Kirk spinoff? And it's like, that's the perfect example of like what I wouldn't want to happen with Star Trek. Like, I think Strange New Worlds is cool and Discovery because they're doing something interesting and new with the franchise instead of just how can we keep the Frankenstein
Right.
monster movie.
I will say if a solo clerk Kirk solo Kirk series or movie is like being thought of anywhere, please make it Chris Pine. That's all.
Yeah. Apparently,
Thanks.
Star Trek 4, this is another thing
Oh yeah.
related to this because there was like a big, I think it was the Hollywood Reporter article on like all the different Star Trek things going on. And that was another one they mentioned was that Star Trek 4 with Chris Pine is apparently still a thing. That could happen at some point. That would be the end of the Chris Pine Star Trek movies. Do you have any confidence that that might happen?
I hope so. I've heard that the script has been written, but I've heard that it's
Yeah.
cursed. I've like literally that is literally, I think it was Chris Pine
Yeah.
himself who used that terminology, that the script is cursed. But I believe they have been trying to work on it, and oh my God, I'm so sorry. The kid who plays Spock in that series,
Zachary Quinto,
see, he got
Siler
delayed
from
out too.
Heroes.
Yeah, sorry, I'm really bad with names. But I've heard that, or I've read that he said like he doesn't really have faith in the show much, that it's gonna come to fruition, or in the movie really, that's gonna come
Yeah.
to fruition, which breaks my heart. But there are other ways to see Chris Pine, like hopefully in the Dungeons and Dragons sequel.
Please give us that. Yeah, that's a movie. I saw that the 1 year anniversary of that was like earlier this week or last week. And please, TV executives who are obviously watching our podcast, like
Please,
please give us
please,
a
please.
Dungeons and Dragons sequel because that movie was great.
Oh, it was excellent. It was
But
excellent.
it was. But yeah, Star Trek 4 has been in basically development hell for years. And the I kind of laughed to myself seeing that they talked about Chris Pine, like the Star Trek 4 was still a thing, because the last time someone, and it was just like a Paramount executive, the last time someone opened their mouth about this Chris Pine movie and said, we're still making it, Chris Pine, like the next week was like, that's news to me. Like he had no idea when they made the press announcement. So that's how he found out.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, my first thought was, I wonder if Chris Pine knows that Star Trek 4 with Chris Pine is still happening.
I hope
But
so. Be ready,
yeah.
Chris. Your handsome face is needed once again. I mean, your excellent acting skills are needed once again to bring Kirk back to life.
Yeah, he was a
Yes.
great Kirk.
Oh,
I
he's great.
enjoyed him a lot. All right. So before we move on to what else we're watching, anything else you want to say about Discovery, your
Watch
feelings
it.
on it.
I'm so
Watch it.
excited.
Okay.
It's good. It's good. I can't say anything else.
Gotcha. Okay. Fair enough. And the first two episodes of Star Trek Discovery drop tomorrow, April 4th, on
Yes.
Paramount Plus. Do you know how many episodes this season is?
I believe, oh, 8 or 10. I think it's 10. I think it's 10. I could be wrong,
Okay.
but I think it's 10.
10. You're right.
Yeah, 10 is usually
Yeah.
the norm.
I hope 10 stays the norm.
You remember when it was like 20 something?
I do. Star Trek remembers. Janeway remembers. Granted. She got a cool 20
so does
a season.
Picard.
Yeah.
So does Picard. The original, the cool Picard, not the other Picard.
Ouch. Sorry, Jean-Luc. But yeah, so Star Trek Discovery premiering tomorrow. Enjoy all ye Trekkies out there. But beyond that, you know, there's always more stuff to watch, more stuff to read, or games to play, all that sort of stuff. So all of you out there watching, what are you watching? Let us know in the chat. Camilla, what have you been getting into aside from Discovery and the Kaijus?
X-Men 97, Invincible.
Oh, how is it?
Oh, X-Men 97 is so good. It's literally, it's like the animated series never ended. It's like, it's the same vibe, same everything. It's the same thing.
Oh, man.
It's great.
Okay. So nervous. That's one series where I've been really nervous to check it out because I did really, like, loved the X-Men cartoon as a kid. Like, that theme song, it remains one of the best cartoon theme songs ever. But I saw clips and like the animation style almost looks a little weird to me because it's newer. It's got kind of like a newer sheen to it.
But
you've been really enjoying it.
I've been enjoying it heavily. I can confidently say that the third episode is by far my favorite. It's too good.
Okay.
Today we just had a new episode released today. So that's out there. Episode number four.
Have you seen it yet?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
Is good. I do like that. Like they're one of the, what is this? Oh, sorry. I was reading the comments. Yes, it is unreal. It's very unreal. It's really good. Like it's nostalgia, man. But, I do like that one of the main, I guess, main mutant characters now that he's just been getting a lot of screen time in the last like three episodes. He's Brazilian, so it makes me happy. It's Sunspot and like...
Oh, nice.
It's cool. It's just cool to have that representation and that occasional Portuguese in there. So sometimes he goes on like the angry Portuguese rant and I get it. And I'm like, I understand you, bro. I got you. Like I understand. But no, the series is really good. It's well done. The animation might look just a little wonky because, you know, older looking graphics, but smoother frames, I guess.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah. But I'm very impressed with it so far.
Cool. Okay, you're making a good case for it. I've just been hurt so many times by Disney in the past like 2 years. It's not even about Marvel or about Star Wars anymore. It's just about things associated with Disney. I'm just exhausted. But that's great though, because you know, X-Men, that cartoon is something that is really special to a lot of people. So sounds wonderful that they're doing a good job with it. Yeah, exactly like magic. It's Disney-induced PTSD.
Yes.
That is spot on. Andrew is living his best animated series life as well, it sounds like. X-Men 97, The Bad Batch.
Oh, The Bad Invincible. Batch, that's another one.
Have you been watching it? How is
it? Yes. Oh, man, buckle up. That's all I have to say.
That's another final season, right?
There's four episodes left in the entire series.
Yeah. Ugh. Jeez.
Four episodes.
So a lot of good animated stuff going on too. Invincible's another one I've been meaning. I will watch that one at some point. Just heard so much hype.
Have
and
you
that
watched,
finale.
You've not watched
I haven't
it at
watched
all?
Any. No. Nope. That's my 130 hours of Final Fantasy talking. I have not.
my heart, Daniel. I can't take it. So sad.
How have you been liking the new episodes of season two, right? Because it's been airing its back half of its season.
Yeah. Tomorrow is actually the season finale. And then we go on another hiatus of however long until season three comes out, which I hope is soon because the way things end, like it's not cool.
Oh, you've already seen it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been sitting on this finale for two weeks now, and I can't talk about it.
Tomorrow's the day.
I know. I've been sitting on it for 2 weeks. Like, I can't talk about it. So I just keep rewatching it.
Hopefully this turnaround is quicker because I remember reading a while back that they already recorded a lot of the voice work for season three. I don't know how much that speeds up the animation. You know, obviously that takes time. I love that they worked in the gag from the Invincible comics.
Yeah.
There's a gag in the comic where they talk about reusing
You know,
square panels. And that most people don't notice, and it's for dramatic pauses and stuff to cut corners. And they worked in the same gag, but for animating shows. So got a tip of the hat to that. That was brilliant.
That whole moment is hilarious. That like there's an actual moment where that entire conversation goes down and it's just like, ha, they're doing this. it's pretty funny.
Yes, Andrew says you'll blow up. Yeah, love Twitter. As always.
As always, this show is my weekly reminder to make sure my anxiety medication is refilled.
Nice. All right. Selling it. But yeah, lots of other good stuff on right now. Julie says, I watched Rick and Michonne's finale and loved it, despite all the criticism it received. I have heard a lot of criticism, but it seems like this is one of those instances where it's like fan expectations. Like most of the criticisms I'm hearing are like, it wasn't actiony enough and explosive enough, but like, this is a show about their family coming back together. And it seems like that's what they kind of nailed in the finale. So I'm glad to hear you liked it, Julie. I haven't watched that yet. The Ones Who Lived. Rick's plot armor is unreal.
Is unreal.
I mean, it wasn't good enough to save him from getting shipped off in a helicopter for like three seasons of The Walking Dead, Robert. But no, that's fair. If anyone's got plot armor, it's probably Rick. So I can't argue it, but let the man have it. He survived a lot. Another one that I watched this week finally is Three Body Problem. Have you seen any of that?
I have not. I'm kind of curious, but I want to watch it, but I don't want to watch it. I'm weird when it comes to shows. But is it good?
Fair. It is really good. It is a dark show. So it's David Benioff and Dan Weiss, along with Alexander Wu, who did True Blood.
Okay.
I think they did. So for reference, I've not read the book. I know they had to make some pretty specific changes from the books just because they're very Chinese oriented and they were globalizing the story a little bit, which is something they did like with the author's blessing. Like he said that idea to them when they met with him the first time. You're going to have to globalize this a little to make it work. Mm-hmm. But I really liked it. It is a thorny, complex, slow burn show about basically like alien first contact. And what if we met aliens and they maybe didn't have our interests at heart, and what would that look like, and how would we react as a society to the idea that aliens are coming and stuff like that. So I really liked it, but it is, you definitely want to make sure you take any anxiety meds that day too,
because
it's a very dark show. It definitely has trigger warnings at the top, and it should have them because there's a lot of suicide and death and really graphic stuff that happens. But as a whole, it's really interesting. It does some really interesting, cool things. And some things I've never really seen on TV before.
Really?
I will say if you start it, you should stick through at least episode 5 because everything before then is kind of set up. Like it's almost like 5 stuff goes down and then it's like, then you really get an idea of like what the show's about. Before that, it's a lot of mysteries and a lot of different elements. Like there's a video game that some people are playing that's very immersive and they're wondering how the technology for it could exist and things like that. There's a murder mystery element. So there are a bunch of different things. And then in 5, the board changes. So
it's
really good. I hope it gets more seasons because it got way more interesting as it went on.
Okay. I have to give that a watch. That and Shogun are two that I haven't started Shogun yet.
Again, another one that can be pretty heavy.
Oh, I'm fine with that. That kind of heavy, I'm fine.
Yeah, it's a less disturbing heavy than Three Body Problem. Yeah, okay. A show to watch at night, Andrew says. It does have a pretty dark color palette. But it's, yeah, Shogun is excellent. So episode 7 of that aired on Tuesday. It's got 3 more episodes left. It's a limited series. So once it's done, it's done. It's based on like a 1975 book, and the book was a standalone. So they're just doing the one-off season. And it's just been top notch. Like it really has been as probably close to like a flawless TV show as I've seen this year.
Really?
Yeah. The actors, the visuals, the costuming, like it's very obvious they put a ton of effort into doing this as like a feudal Japan, like period piece.
Yeah.
And they had like a Japanese crew, a lot of Japanese cast. Like they really went hard making sure that the authenticity was there, because, you know, there was like a 1980s Shogun miniseries, and that's, it did some things right, like surprisingly. Like I rewatched part of it because of the new show, but it's also like very obviously others, the Japanese characters, like it's that kind of story as a product of its time a little bit, in a way that can be a little cringy, even though there are some things it does well. So it has been refreshing to see this new take on Shogun that is like really prioritizing balancing out the Japanese characters and the Japanese culture. So
awesome. That show's so good. Is it Anna Hawaii in this?
She's
a monarch.
So I didn't realize that until fairly recently. And if you liked Anna Sawai from Monarch, you will probably love her in this, because this show really, really gives her the chance to flex her acting chops. Awesome. Like she's amazing.
Oh yes, she is. Yeah. Oh, I'm gonna have to start watching that.
Do it. JP says, I wish the dialogue writing and some of the acting was better in Three Body Problem. Overall, it's a good story. Writing though was tough. And I would agree with that a little bit. There are some bits of dialogue that I think are a little awkward, but on the whole, I still enjoyed it a lot. And yeah, Robert says Anna Sawai steals the show for at least the first 6 episodes.
Oh, that's and so cool. She's such a good
actress. I think I'm inclined. She's great. And she plays Mariko, who's a translator. So she's speaking in Japanese and English. And there are all sorts of interesting things that the character does where like her translations are more or less accurate depending on where we are in the story and how she feels about everything that's going on.
Oh, that's cool.
It's a really, really meaty role for her. But yeah, that's a lot of rambling. Anything else you're watching? Or let's playing?
Do the list. Oh, I'm still playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I haven't finished it yet. Just I've had way too much to watch, honestly.
Yeah.
All those shows.
It's a good problem to have, but yeah, I feel that. It has destroyed my sleep schedule for the past month. So I did finish Rebirth this past weekend, which is why I'm wearing my Rebirth hat.
I love it.
And I won't talk about the end because you haven't finished it. And I wouldn't even want to remotely risk spoiling it for anyone. But I will say that I really liked it a lot. It's another one that had kind of a divisive ending, like from the reviews I read. Some people liked it more than others. I thought it was brilliant, but the whole game is a lot to mull on. Probably one of the more impactful gaming experiences I've ever had, honestly, because they really went hard on doing this story well and doing these characters justice in a way that I just thought was really moving. It's pretty clear that they put a lot of care into it. Robert Harris, yeah, get that Tears of the Kingdom. That's one I haven't beaten yet.
We've talked about this. I'm not a fan of the new Zelda games. So I don't. It looks cool, sure, but I don't think I'll play it.
That's fair. I bounced off them at first. I now at this point I enjoy them a lot, but I never begrudge anyone if they say they're not a huge fan, because it is very different than old Zelda's.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's what we've been watching, playing, all those sorts of things. Shall we close things out with a quick lightning round?
Let's do it.
Okay, so for those of you watching, if you haven't seen this before, we go through some news stories that we didn't have time to get to in the main show, summing them up in 20 seconds, or we are buzzed into shame and infamy by producer Richard. So if you hear a buzzer, that's what that sound is.
Yes, that's the stop talking buzzer, and go to the next question.
Yes. All right. So I think I'm going to ask you the first one.
Okay.
I did put these in somewhat of an order.
All right. So all right.
We got this week, we got the first official poster for the second Joker movie starring Joaquin Phoenix and Lady Gaga as Harley Quinn, the Joker Filet à deux. I think I'm saying that right. What are your thoughts?
I haven't seen Joker. I haven't seen the original. But I do love Lady Gaga, and I know Joaquin Phoenix is like an excellent actor. So maybe I'll go and watch the first one so I can watch it. Could be good.
Yeah. That's pretty fair.
Yeah.
That's exactly how I feel about it too. I didn't see the first one, but it's like, I'll give it a chance for Lady Gaga probably.
Yeah. All right. So Daniel, apparently, yes. A fifth Matrix movie is in the works with Drew Goddard as the writer and director and Lana Wachowski as executive producer. How do we feel about that? And why do we need a fifth one? Because we do.
I don't know if we do. So I haven't seen Matrix Resurrections, so I will put this out there at the top. I don't know if it was good or bad. I'm not really too opinionated on it. I do think this will be interesting because it's the first time that a Wachowski has not been the director of a Matrix movie. So I'm cautiously intrigued, but also the original trilogy just feels like its own thing, and this won't really change that to me.
True.
You may have noticed, those of you watching, that 2 days ago was April Fool's Day. Yeah. And if you're on the internet, that means you probably got quite a lot of fooling thrown your way, including this one. So no, Studio Ghibli is not making a Legend of Zelda movie.
No, they're not. There is a Legend of Zelda movie being made, but it's like Nintendo and Arad Productions. It's not Studio Ghibli at all. It's not. They have nothing, no spoons in that game, unfortunately, as cute as it would be. You see little Navi floating around, like Ghibli Navi is something we need and we kind of demand a little, but you know, it would be cute. Oh,
it would. Perfect buzzer. I would watch that.
Sandman season 2 will reportedly have 12 episodes, including Song of Orpheus, Brief Lives, A Midsummer Night's Dream, and the Season of Mists arc. How are we feeling about that?
We're feeling right now today a little sad Dan's not here to be wicked hype about Sandman because he loves it. It's good news for Sandman fans. So basically it looks like those are a bunch of really important stories from the comics, including one with Orpheus, one about William Shakespeare, who we saw very briefly in season 1, and then all of Dream's endless siblings. Exciting stuff in the Sandman camp. Which, speaking of, another Sandman thing, we got a new trailer today for Dead Boy Detectives, which is a Sandman spinoff, and it confirmed that Death, played by Kirby Howell Baptiste, will appear in it. Any interest?
I never finished the first season of Sandman purely because of time. I was very interested in season 1, so I want to watch Sandman, and if this Death person... I haven't gotten a feel for Death yet. That sounds so weird saying that, but I think it'd be cool. I do like the vibe of the show and stuff, so could be interesting.
Yeah,
for sure.
The vibes are strong.
So is his voice. So The Witcher has announced 3 new cast members: Charlotte Copley as Leo Bonhart, James Purefoy as Stefan Skellen, and Denny Woodburn as Zoltan Chavez. Am I saying that right?
Yeah, Zoltan. Okay. I'm sorry. I realized belatedly I could just say the name, so I'm sorry to have put you through that gauntlet.
It's okay.
Yeah, The Witcher.
It's okay.
They announced new cast members today. So we already had an idea that Charlotte Copley was playing Leo Bonhart. He is a really important villain from the books. Danny Woodburn is Zoltan. Witcher 3 players, you know Zoltan. We'll see him next season. He's a really important dwarf character. And then James Purefoy, look him up. He's a really well-known actor. He was in, I think, A Knight's Tale. He's going to be playing an evil diplomat in the next one. Spy Master. Okay, so Invincible talk. Apparently Invincible quietly recast Ezra Miller. He played D.A. Sinclair for reasons you probably could guess. Any thoughts about this?
The whole thing with Ezra makes me really sad because I am one of the few people out there who like really enjoyed him as Barry. And
yeah,
you know, consequences for actions, and it sucks. It's sad. But I do like the person who voices him in the second part of the second season. So
nice.
It's fine. Yeah.
That's
fine.
Good at least. It's fine. It is what it is.
It's what it is. The Walking Dead Daryl Dixon spinoff dropped a new trailer for season 2, which gives us our first look at Carol. Daryl is still in France, and Carol is now on the trail to try and find him. I love Carol. How do you feel about this?
Yeah, I love Carol too. So excited because, you know, the Daryl Dixon show was pretty decent. Daryl off in France. But Carol's just so damn interesting. And anytime she shows up, you know things are going to be interesting and unpredictable. And that comes across even in the trailer. She walks up all unassuming to these mechanics, asking questions, and then she pulls Daryl's crossbow on him. So I'm excited for this. Coming this summer, Daryl Dixon season 2. And that's our show for the day. Camilla, thank you so much for coming on.
You're so welcome. Thanks for having me. Love coming over here and chatting with you guys.
Anytime. We need to do it more.
Yes.
And for all of you out there listening, thanks so much for tuning in. Make sure to mash that like and subscribe button if you have not. And check us out on Spotify, on Apple Music, all your usual podcast places. And for now, I am out of puns, so we're just gonna call it there, and Dan will be back next week with puns for you.
Yeah,
take care.
Winter is leaving. Bye.
Winter is leaving. Take care, all.
This podcast is brought to you by FanSided. Join our community of over 300 sites from sports to pop culture and everything in between.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.